They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Ryan.
Let me pray. Oh, I'm very loud. Let me pray. Father, any words I say that aren't of you and of my vanity, may you forgive. Any words I say that are of you, may you bless. Bless us now, Lord, to hear from your word and be guided by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Leadership wonder boy. Can I have that on my CV? That sounds great. So ambiguous. I don't think anyone has any idea what that would mean. And it's going to stick forever. If I asked you guys to talk about devotion, what would you say? If I asked you what you were devoted to, how would you respond? Would you say your family, your children, wife, husband, etc., those people who are part of your family? Would you say your work, whether that is what you do for work, or for that idea of climbing the ladder of success to get to the best place possible? Is that what you're devoted to? Perhaps you would say you're devoted to your hobbies, those things you do to get better at that one particular thing, painting, music, running, whatever it might be. Some of you might say you're devoted to God, following him, trying to be more like Jesus, trying to be closer to him. No matter what you say or how you answer that, what does being devout look like? To be devoted to something, it has such a greater meaning than to simply like doing something. When we are devoted to something, we almost look past our emotions. We look past how we feel. If we are devoted to our family, then regardless of how I feel or how you feel, we will do what's best for them. You put their needs before yours. And the same is true of anything else that you're devoted to. You will make it the most important thing in your life. From a purely practical point of view, you will put it before anything else. It will be the thing you think about when making decisions. How will this thing I'm doing affect that thing that I'm devoted to? Devotion is a powerful force, but it is one that has to be tempered. In the verse we just had read, the disciples are devoted to the things of God. Now, there's quite a lot in that one verse, but I'm simply going to look at prayer, since that's the theme of our sermon series. We're going to look at what does being devoted to prayer look like, and why prayer should be the cornerstone of everything we do. All the rest of our life, our work, our hobbies, our social standing, falls into place when prayer is the center, is that one thing we do. So what does devotion to prayer look like? Well, as I said at the beginning, devotion is putting something first, thinking of it before all else. I wonder, what would it look like for you personally, to put prayer before all else? What would it look like for us as a church to have prayer be the ultimate center of everything we do? Putting prayer first means you're putting your relationship with God and talking to him before anything else. It means before we go out into the world to do anything, we start off by spending time with him. Putting something first isn't just about an order. We don't just put things at the beginning. It's not like checking into a shift where you have to check to your manager and say, I'm here. It's more of a state of mind. It's more about being aware of what I'm doing. How is what I'm doing affecting my relationship with the one I am devoted to? Devotion is about making sure that all the things I am doing are good for the one I am devoted to. Being devoted to prayer simply means making sure that everything else I am doing comes under prayer. That prayer is the thing that starts everything else. So being devoted to prayer is simply another way of being devoted to God. This means that when I'm spending time with God, or when I'm out in the world, I'm asking myself, is this the best thing for my relationship with God? Am I doing the things I am doing out in the world for God or for me? We can ask that both individually and corporately. Are the things that I, and in turn we as a church, doing keeping us close to God? Is my devotion to him in prayer the driving force of my life? Or is my devotion to my life and myself the driving force of my prayers? Am I putting the horse before the cart? Putting prayer first, and in turn God first, is about being devoted to him and putting him above all else. Devotion to anything is putting it first. Devotion to prayer and turn to God is exactly the same. Devotion, however, has another layer to it. And to answer that, I need your help. Parents, hands up. Are you devoted to your children? Hopefully someone put their hands. Excellent. Hands down. Put your hands up if sometimes you don't like them because they're being a bit irritating. Oh, look, two hands up from David. Excellent. Hands back down. Thank you for taking part in my little experiment. As you can see, devotion to something and liking it are not the same thing. They don't always go hand in hand. Being devoted means to love. Love and like are not the same thing. When I was being an annoying teenager back at home, my dad would say to me, Ryan, if I was your mate and younger, I would probably slap you the way you're acting right about now. What he was showing then simply was that his love for me and liking the way I was acting were not mutually exclusive. He still loved me. He's still my dad and loved me, but he didn't like how I was acting. Love and like are not the same things. And in the same way, devotion is above feelings. It's a state of knowing. It's almost a state of being. I was a competitive martial artist for nearly 10 years. I fought nationally on the major circuit. In those 10 years, there were days I did not want to go training. I was either tired from school or work. I might have been hungover. I did not want to go training. But I had to. My devotion to it was beyond and above how I was feeling. Now, yes, I had people there to give me a nudge and give me a kick if I didn't want to do it. But the point is still the same. Devotion is beyond and above how I feel. And so devotion in prayer is the same thing. Getting into a routine, a good one, and having people who nudge us when we slip up is a good thing. How often in your house groups do you sit down with each other and ask, how are you with God? How are things with you and God? How are you finding life with him? Now, that isn't an excuse for us to become teachers, grading people when they say, actually, I've been far away. I've really struggled this week. No, it's far from that. Instead, it's about growing together, learning how to get into a routine of worship with each other. Because prayer is worship. Not just communion, not just singing, not just Bible reading. Prayer is direct worship to our God. You worship God when you have days when you say, I don't want to pray, but not my will, yours. When you say, I don't want to get up early, I've had a busy day, but not my will, yours. These are all forms of worship. This is part of our worship to God. When it comes to praying day in, day out, spending 5, 10, 15, however many minutes, you are creating that devoted relationship with God. Now that I've moved away from Worthing, I call my mum every Saturday. It's part of my relationship with her, a devoted relationship. If I don't call her, she'll call me, and she'll tell me off that I didn't call her. That's part of my relationship with her. It's part of my devotion to her. It's a discipline. If I don't want to do it, I still have to do it. It's part of that relationship. You can't get away from it. And so in your prayer time, spend time with God, even when you don't want to. Statistically speaking, you need to do something 30 times without fail for it to become a routine, for it to become part of your muscle memory, part of your bones. You still have to work at it, and there are still days you don't want to do it, but you become aware when you don't do it. You sort of feel itchy, as if you know you haven't done something. I'm not at that level yet, but I want to be. And I pray that for all of us here, that we get itchy when we don't speak to God in prayer. Devotion to God in prayer is putting him above all else. We are all busy people. You all have busy lives. I will not deny that. But that being said, we all make time for the things that are important to us. Hobbies, skills, running, music, whatever. We all make time for the things that are important to us. It's purely about rearranging the order of importance. How can I make time for God to speak to me? Or for me to speak to him? Start off small and grow. 5 minutes. You will find that you have more time than you realize when the order changes. Devotion to something is putting it first in your life and putting it above how I feel. And so what comes out of it? Well, love. True devotion stems from true love. To be devoted to something, you have to be in love with it. A love for God, a love for spending time with God, is transformative. There's a really wonderful quote from Archbishop William Temple, who was one of the archbishops back in 1940s time. And I had forgotten it until I was reminded of it in the prayer day we just had. William said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." I love this quote because coincidences are rarely big things, are they? I mean, sometimes they're world-changing, but more often than not, they're little things that just happen on the road of our life. Prayer is subtle, but prayer is transformative. Prayer can and does change the world. It has changed lives. It changed my life. Devotion stems from love. And so because of that, our devotion will look different. How you love is unique. Because there is only one of you, and you are the only version of that you. God made you to be you, not to try to be anyone else, not to try to be someone you're not. I can think of people, I'm sure you can, who you look at them and go, "Oh, they're amazing at prayer. They look so amazing at prayer." We kind of sort of go, "I want to pray like them." And so we try to copy how they pray. But then we soon realize that we struggle to pray like them, or we can't. And I'd argue, you probably can't pray like them because you aren't them. You are you. So pray like you. They are unique, but so are you. And so how you pray, how you show love, how your devotion will look, will be unique to each and every one of you. And in turn, your relationship with God will be unique. There are so many ways we can pray. I have here some items of prayer. Now, most of you will know me, that I can sit still for as long as most of you can hold your breath. Rose is nodding, she knows. I really can't sit still very often. And so my prayer life does not mean sitting still for an hour and a half, just being with God. I wish I could do that, but I can't. So, what do I have? I love journaling. I doodle. So I have my leather book of wonders. Pray, draw pictures, write things down. What's in your mind? Write it down. See where the trends are. Let that be part of your prayer. What else have I got? Crucifixes and crosses. These aren't special secret holy items. They're simply lenses to see God. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose for me. Let that stem from your prayer. What else have I got? Ah, controversial. Rosaries. Now, we don't say Hail Marys. We don't ask saints for prayers. However, a rosary has 10 decades. So it's got 5 sets of 10. The word praise can be broken down. Praise, repent, ask, intercede, speak his word, enjoy his present. P-R-A-I-S-E. 10 things to praise God for. 10 things to repent for. 10 things to ask God for. 10 ways I want to speak God's word to my family, my friends. 10 ways people I want to pray for. And then spend some time just being with God. That might be a good way if you are like me and your brain does many little tangents. What else have we got? Candles. Light. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Look at that. Let the light, that flicker, that changing light affect you. See how it moves. How its changing formation affects the way you change. The Bible. The Psalms are wonderful books with so many emotions in it. There's prayers for, well, songs for crying, for happiness, for joy, for basically anything. Read one. There's so much you can do in them. Your phones as well are amazing items for prayer. There are so many apps. The Church of England's got a daily prayer app for every single day. There are many great prayer apps that you can use to help you. Put your phone on silent. Airplane mode. Nothing else can distract you. Just what you're doing. Podcasts. Go for a walk. We are blessed to live next to quite a green area. We've got the common. Walk around. Thank you, God, for the ducks, for the noisy ducklings, for the cyclist who nearly took me out, for the dog I nearly run over. Thank you, God, for them. Let your prayer life be unique to you. It's not something I can teach you. I can't stand up here and be prescriptive and say, this is how you should pray, or you should pray. You've got to explore it for yourself. Imagine, you know yourself better than I do. What works for you? How do you best learn? And in turn, how do you best seek? What works best for you? Look at yourself and then make the decision. How will I be devoted to God? In the book Prayer in the Making, the book Lena read, there's this really wonderful, it's not my one. My one's got the bookmark in it. There it is. A really wonderful paragraph, and I want to read it to you because I think it just stems what I just said in so much nicer language than what I said. The way we are each made is no coincidence. We are the work of a master artisan who has never made a mistake in his life. We are as varied as the snowflakes and as complex as the stars. He has no desire to make us all the same, but he does long to be close, intimate relationship with each and every one of us. That leads me to conclude that his relationship with each one of us must look completely differently. No one in all of history will ever reflect God's beauty in quite the same way you do. And no one will ever have the same relationship with him that you have. So if you buy the lie that you need to become someone else, someone better, in order to be close to him, then that precious once-in-an-eternity friendship never gets off the ground. You miss out on him because faking it will always sour the connection. And he misses out on you because no one can ever be you quite as well as you can. And if your relationship with him is unique, then so is your prayer life. Your communication with him has a flavor unlike anyone else's. Perhaps you bemoan how feeble and faithless your prayers seem, but to him, they're exquisite. That paragraph is just really amazing. I love that paragraph because it shows that devotion, the thing I've been banging on about for the last 10 minutes, isn't just one way. It isn't just us to God. God is devoted to us, to you. If you're the only person in this room, I could say with no shadow of a doubt that God is devoted to you. Devotion is love. And so all that we do must flow out of devotion. All of our mission priorities, all the things we do as a church, must flow out of devotion to him. Otherwise, they become hollow good deeds, nothing more. All we do must start be grounded in prayer. Because when we do that, when devotion to God, when love to God in prayer starts, when that is the center, the world will be transformed. Your world and the world global. And so my question to you, how will you be devoted to prayer? At the end of the rows, there are, underneath your chairs, some bits of paper. There's no point me standing up here for 15 minutes telling you all about prayer if you don't take anything away from it. That's just me talking to you. Prayer is personal, and so there must be personal action in it. Underneath your chairs, there are bits of paper. Take one and write on it, some pens as well. And write on that how you would want to be devoted to God in prayer. Then put that bit of paper by your kettle, on your fridge, on your bedside table. Write how you would want to grow your devotion to God in prayer. What that will look like. Start off small. Maybe use some of the things I said or something I didn't say. This isn't prescriptive. This is personal. It is devotion. Love to God and God's love to you.